Thank you. Hello. Check, check, check. Check, check, check. Oh, there we go. Hi.
Hello. How's it going?
I'm good. Can you hear you?
I can hear myself talking on the
radio. If you need more, then you're on the thing.
You're now listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, okay. Manitoba.
Yes. There we go.
You're supposed to say that every 30 minutes.
Who cares? No one cares anymore. The wonderful and frightening world of Patrick Mike Lishan. There's got to be news because Maggie A. Clark is here.
Yeah, that's right, baby. It's the assistant editor of Stylists back on the thing to say we're not dead yet, despite all appearances.
So what's going on?
It's just real comedy of errors here at the radio station and magazine, where we kind of delayed the issue a little bit because we didn't know if it was going to be the last one, and we were trying to convince the board to extend our funding, and then the board extended our funding, and then I don't know why it's taken this long, but, you know, long story short, it's been sent to the printer now, and it should be...
Oh!
The next issue should be out next week.
Oh, yeah, because I think in the email, I was looking at the email to see if you, or I checked my email to see if you wrote me because I was scared that you weren't showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you mentioned that it was supposed to be out for today.
Yeah, it was supposed to be out already, but then there was like a bit of an error with the ordering of some of the pages. Like the color insert has to be like in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And we forgot to make sure that it actually was in the middle, so then Kelly had to do some rearranging of pages and then resubmit it, and then it should be ready to be distributed next week.
You said Keely or Kelly?
I said Kelly, the art director.
Okay, sorry, I thought I meant like Keely. Is Keely still running?
Keely is still the editor of Stylist.
And is
yes.
Keely also at the West End now?
Yeah, she is, as far as I know. Which,
okay.
I mean, also that's its own whole can of worms, I guess. Well, just the whole music scene in this city is dying.
things are weird and probably not CKUW air talk appropriate.
Sure,
I'm
yes.
so glad you're here though, because I do love conversing with you. The first time we talked, mm-hmm. obviously, was when you interviewed me for, it sounds weird to say, two issues of Stylist back.
It's really, it's more like four, I think, but you know,
was it?
It's hard to say at this point because there's the articles that I have, that I wrote back in September that are just now going to be published. And then there's the articles I've been working on and like worked on over the holiday break that will come out hopefully in late January or February, because we want to get the next issue out before Fun Drive.
Oh my.
So after like a 4-month absence,
We're gonna have two issues in two months,
basically. So that's awesome.
And how fat are these issues? Was there a backlog that they're gonna be putting stuff in, or how's that working?
I'm trying to write stuff and to like pad it out with actual content, and not just like here's a concert I went to 3 months ago.
So how many people are still contributing to the magazine?
Ooh, yeah, I guess it depends, but I would say usually there's about like 8 names on the masthead.
And you doing your job of archiving the styluses, what's like the max amount of contributors you've seen on those pages?
I don't know. It was like in the 30s.
Yeah, when I was
there. There's so many names in any given issue. It used to be so much better.
Half of it used to be like reviews and writing, and is
yeah, and profiles of artists who were coming into town or who were just getting started, and you know, I mean, I guess we kind of still do that sometimes with like Space Jam, that feature where we interview a band in their space.
So is there? So what's holding back, besides printing costs, I guess, of just having more profiles? Like, you know, you pick up an issue of Exclaim in the first quarter of it, you know, ignoring all the ads or whatever, is just kind of like stories and features. And, you know, even looking at the new issue of the Uniter, there's, you know, every half page is kind of like its own little blah. blah, and like stylists could do that.
We could, but I guess the issue is that we don't that we fell out of the habit of it, and then because like I think part of what the problem is here is that like Keeley took over very shortly after becoming assistant editor.
Yeah.
Because I guess Gil quit.
He's in a rock and roll band.
Yeah, he's in Living Hour.
Yeah.
He's Gil Carroll.
And he also does soundtracks as a duo, right?
Mm.
He did a soundtrack for, what's her face? Don't Let the Sun See You Crying was the movie.
I don't remember this.
I'm not going to Google it.
But I don't know. I feel like there was maybe some sort of transfer of institutional knowledge that just didn't happen between the Gil and Keeley eras of the magazine, perhaps. And then that's why we just don't really do that many articles anymore.
Hmm.
I mean, I keep trying, and maybe I should start trying to bug specific people to, hey, here's a here's an artist you can write a piece about.
I've got two words for you.
Sure.
Hostile takeover.
What do you mean a hostile takeover?
Just take the reins, baby.
I don't want to do that. I like Keeley.
No, I mean, like, okay, you're not going to hurt. I just mean, like, this is what the magazine is, and just submit something, and they have to pay for it.
Well, I have a couple of profiles coming out in the January-February issue that I hope will be more topical.
Wait a second. Hold on a sec. There's going to be two January-February issues?
Okay. So the one that's coming out now was titled the September, October, November, December issue. Very, very concise.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Very good title. And then the one that's coming out after that, that we've already started working on, and for which the submission deadline, the nominal submission deadline,
I understand,
is in 1 week.
Hell yeah.
Is called January, February, but they're both, I guess, kind of, I don't know anymore.
It's okay. I don't want to stress you out. We're just getting started. Speaking of getting started, we started the show with Bill Orcutt and the Four Louis One, from Maggie's USB stick of magic.
Yeah.
Thank goodness, because, as I've documented, through the spoken word, my stupid cat knocked over my hard drive, which is my entire music library. So now I'm working off a small pile of CDs and relying on guests to bring their own music. Bless you. Bless.
Mm-hmm.
But I did bring a small pile of CDs, stuff that I've been listening to on my stereo systems, and I'm obsessed with Square Pusher, and I finally got a physical copy of his debut album, Feed Me Weird Things, and queued up right now, I've got Tundra. So we're going to hear that on the wonderful and frightening world of Patrick Michaelishan. Stay tuned for more Inside Baseball with Maggie A. Clark.
Thank you. Oh, Thank you.
Some Like It Hot by The World. Authentically Plastic. No, didn't
no,
ask.
I don't That's, know. If oh, you we haven't played.
Sorry, I'm just. I should stop reading what's in front of me. The outtake mix of Me by Gary Newman, Artie Shep with Tuareg.
It's Archie Shep.
Archie Shep. What did I say?
Free jazz legend. You said Artie.
Artie Shep. Artie Shep sounds more jazz than Archie Shep.
I think. I don't know. Maybe. Right. Maybe I'm just. I've heard the name Archie Shep so many times that I've accustomed to. Just grown accustomed to it, but. Archie Shep. Every time I listen to an Archie Shep song, I check his Wikipedia page to make sure he's still alive. And he is. Because, like, a lot of those old jazz guys have passed away now. But he's still kicking.
How old is old Archie Shep?
He was born in 37, I think. So whatever that makes him now. He's in his
Oh, wow. He's, like,
90s.
In his 90s.
Yeah.
Good for him. You know, I always... when I see, like, these celebrities, like, Mel Brooks is still, like, spry, and he's making Spaceballs 2 and History of the World Part 2, and there's, like, an HBO documentary coming out on him, and Dick Van Dyke just turned 100, and he's still spry and good. And it just makes you think, what did they do different than us?
Yeah,
did they just eat red meat and smoke cigarettes and drink whiskey and bed women?
I don't really have any theories. I was trying to come up with some sort of like what's the thing that like the Alex Jones types of the world are on about?
Geniuses?
No, I mean some sort of serum or something.
Oh, like adrenochrome, where you take the...
Yeah, that's the exact
thing. The adrenaline
thing
from orphans?
Yeah, I was going to say adrenochrome, but I forgot the word, and I also forgot a description of the thing, but we got there eventually. Good riffing.
Adrenochrome. Yeah, I got to get me some of that. I don't want to die anytime soon. Yeah. I've been like thinking about my mortality quite a bit. I've been hanging out with... a lot of my family and, you know, I just broke the news to you. My dad died like less than 3 months ago. But like my cousins who are just a decade older than me, one of them, her and her husband just made a will for themselves. Right. And I'm signing it up and stuff and going to, you know, funerals. Like I go to funerals for like people who are close family people. And there's people who are my parents' age who were friends with my parents growing up. And they're like, our friends are dying. I'm like, it's kind of scary. I mean, I've lost a bunch of friends who are older than me and stuff, but it's always kind of there. And it's something that I'm not afraid of happening. I just don't want it to happen yet.
Yeah.
I know that it's going to get us all.
Yeah. I mean, I know there was at least one person in my high school graduating class who passed away, but we weren't particularly close. I've been fortunate enough that no one that I was especially close with has died yet. But that's only a matter of time.
It's gonna get you.
It's gonna happen.
It's horrible. It sucks. But
unless I'm the first one, in which case it sucks for everyone else. Who's to say?
It's one of those things where people ask me because I had to clean out my parents' house, and my dad was a collector.
Yeah,
and I was just
many
given
such cases.
Oh, and I love. And people looked at me when my mom passed away, and I started to clear out my parents' place, and they're like, "You have a lot of stuff, Patrick. Have you ever thought of downsizing?" And I was like 37. Like, this is like 2 years ago. I'm like, no, I like my stuff. And people are like, well, what about when you die? What's going to happen with all of it? I'm going to cease to care.
Yeah.
At the moment I cease to live, I'm going to cease to care. Throw it on the front step of my house in the West End and it'll be a free
for all.
Well,
I mean, do you have a will?
Not yet. That kind of thing is just like, oh, do I? But I should get a will.
Yeah, I should. I don't know. I'm still not quite 30 yet, so I don't. Maybe I should start thinking about writing a will.
But apparently, if you're in the military, you don't even need to have it like a notary public or anything officially signed.
Interesting.
It's like a legal thing because there's sometimes people if you're on the battlefield and or like on a plane and it's going down and you just it'll go up in flames, but you basically like can write your last will and testament wherever you are.
Yeah.
And if you get killed and they find your body and it has the will in the pocket, then that's a legal will. It's wild how that works. Yeah, my cousin is in the military and she's like, I technically don't have to get this signed and stamped, but she's also not planning on, she's just in the reserves.
Sure.
But yeah, wild.
Well, I'm not really planning on joining the military anytime soon.
Well, I thought you said something about you wanted to join the military and be a high ranking.
No, I don't.
Not at all?
Not interested in serving Maggie my country.
You know, the way things are going, you
pretty
might just get conscripted. Yeah, the world sucks right now.
Yeah.
And we're 1 week into 2026.
Yeah.
We've already had a murder at the hands of I wouldn't say police.
Yeah. I mean, they are kind of.
I mean, anyone like, with a gun and a mask.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the world's a drag.
And, you know, kidnapping the president of Venezuela and then
There's those F
drawing up fucking shouldn't say that on the radio.
Beep bloop.
You know.
Yes.
Silly charges.
But there's people now saying, like the F. Trudeau people are saying, like,
yeah,
you should kidnap Carney next. And people are losing their minds online, too.
Well, Trump likes Carney is the thing. Trump likes him. Respects Mark Carney because he was the banker. He was the central banker.
So hopefully we're good. But there's people who are saying, like, anyone online who's actually, who's posting to kidnap Carney, they're like, we're going to screenshot this and we're going to send this off because that's technically not sedition, but what's that other big one?
I feel like that would be maybe sedition, treason.
Treasonous. Yeah. No, I mean, I guess you know.
I don't really know the difference. I don't have a working knowledge of the distinction between sedition and treason, to be honest.
And I'm just repeating a post that I saw on the internet. So
okay.
Of people, like, there are the stupid people who are saying,
yeah, somebody,
stuff like that.
Some legal expert who's listening to this at 12:51 in the morning should call in and explain to us the difference between sedition and treason.
I'm sitting in front of a computer. I can just Google.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to anyone but you.
Aw. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. So, last is the Q3. The last third, the final third of 2025 stylus is coming out next week.
It is basically all of the issue, everything was written in September October, and it is just now being released.
How long is this issue coming up?
It's 24 pages.
Ooh.
Which is, I mean, it's gargantuan for a 2020s issue of Stylus magazine. There's good stuff in it, in my opinion, and I wrote most of the good stuff, but still.
Not to toot your own horn.
Right, but, you know.
Whatever, toot your own horn.
It's a learning magazine, is the line, I guess.
Oh, you know, totally.
People are learning to write, and you know, I don't want to be on the radio disparaging my fellow contributors, so I won't.
Good. Hey, we played some of your jazz earlier. I found this jazz record at Value Village for $1.99 on Jasmine Records. I think it's jazz. I think I've heard of this guy on like old like Fallout style compilations. His name is Pete Rigolo.
Mm-hmm.
And for $2 for for 42 songs.
Sure.
But I haven't listened to any
practically
of this yet.
Giving it away.
They're chucking it. And also, there's no scratches on the discs.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm, for Value Village, pretty excited. Mm-hmm. But it is almost 1 o'clock in the morning, which means that it's almost time for our compulsory can.
Yeah, what do you do for compulsory can?
I'm playing pre-can. So before they were canned, they were the Inner Space, which is the name of their studio. But they did soundtracks to like softcore European porn films.
Cool.
Which a lot of these bands did for money.
Did you ever just play like a studio song, like one of their studio recorded versions from like Egge Bumyasi or something?
All
just
the time.
Classic.
Oh, I've been doing compulsory can for
it's like Vitamin C.
Oh yeah, no, I've been doing compulsory can for 18 years.
Yeah.
Which was wild because Damo Suzuki played here twice.
Yeah.
And I saw him both times. But the first time was on a Thursday night at the Ruins at St. Norbert. And so this is pre-USB ports here. I burnt a CD of every can song that Damo Suzuki sang on. And the person who was on before me had to put the CD on and let it play through the night. And our station manager, I think it was Robin, was still here. No, Rob was the station manager, but Robin's. They said, "Oh, Damo Suzuki, do you want to meet him? He's right over there." And he was literally recording. So he came out. I pulled out all my CDs. He'd never seen the liner notes for these reissues. So, like, there were pictures of him when he was, like, a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old. And he's like, what the hell? This is crazy. So he signed every Can album that I have that he performed on. And I still have them all. And he was actually really nice talking about Can, because usually he hated talking about Can.
Oh, that's interesting. You must just caught him in a good mood.
I caught him in a great mood. And he was being... Yeah. I'm not going to say he was interviewing, because that would ruin...
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I heard about this from you, that Damo Suzuki played in Winnipeg, but I was not dialed in, let's say, to the music scene at the time. And recently, when photocopying old issues of Stylus, I found out that Peter Brotzman, free jazz saxophonist, played Send and Receive Festival here in 2004. So I'm kind of kicking myself for not being into free jazz when I was 8.
Well, you know that, do you follow any, like, synth guys on YouTube?
No, I don't really. I mostly use YouTube to watch baseball related content.
Well, are you familiar with someone named Heinbach? He's this German dude, and he talks about, like, vintage synth gear, and no. He works with like test equipment.
Sure.
He's always like, "Hi, my name is Heinbach. It's good to have you back." And then he's very soft spoken. Whatever. He played in Winnipeg for, I think, Ascend and Receive.
Oh.
And so, like, going back, I think it was like 7 or 8 years. He played here. It was pre-pandemic, and he was here in the winter, and he was talking about the snow in Winnipeg, and he played, I think, at... Oh, maybe not Send and Receive. It was like Fourth With Festival.
Sure. I mean, like, there've been a lot of festivals.
Yeah, but like interesting, like here. Experimental kind of music-y things. So that was you find out who's been to Winnipeg. Are you a King Crimson fan or anything?
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to two of their albums. There's the big one with the guy's face on
it. Yeah, In the Court of the Crimson King.
Yeah, In the Court of the King, yes. Yeah. That one, thank you. Sometimes album titles elude me. I've listened to that one. I listened to one of the ones that, he played Folk Fest a few years ago.
Adrian Belew.
I listened to one of their...
80s albums, I
80s
guess.
Albums from when Adrian Belew was in King Crimson. Had like a red cover.
That's Red.
It's Red?
The album's called Red.
Okay.
Yep. Cool. Okay, so you know, so you're a Robert Fripp fan?
Yeah.
Well, so,
in as much as I can be a Robert Fripp fan while not having... I've definitely heard the name, and I, now that you mention it, it is clicking to me that that's who he was. And I now that I'm thinking about it, he also... Did he also, like, contribute some of the guitars on David Bowie's Heroes?
Yes, he did he's the guitarist. He did the... That's him.
Yeah. So, insofar as I can be a fan of someone while not really actively remembering
their
name...
But you know who he is.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, I picked up on Black Friday, there's this Robert Fripp, when he was kind of sick of, like, you know... playing to 15,000-30,000 people with King Crimson, he broke up the band and he started doing solo stuff called Frippertronics, which is two reel-to-reel tape machines, him with a guitar and then an engineer, and he would just do like live looping. Mm-hmm. And so he did like No Pussyfooting with Brian Eno, like that was before he broke the band up. And then he did this album called Exposure. And there's like four different versions of Exposure, like different mixes, different vocal takes, but it's all the same album. There's a thing that his label is doing, and they're putting out these crazy deluxe box sets of like King Crimson eras. And they did one for his solo work with Frippertronics. It's called Exposures, and I picked it up for $160. It's a 32-disc box set, 25 discs are CDs, tons of unreleased stuff, and like the first four discs are just like guitar loops of him just like... making stuff up. It comes with three DVDs and four Blu-ray data discs, like Blu-ray audio data discs. And two of those discs are the complete tour that he did for Frippertronics, including his stop at the WAG in 1979.
Huh.
And it was, I think, $3 to see him.
Nice.
And now...
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Like, it reminds me of another thing from an old style. So someone was complaining about, like, the ticket prices and the prices of beer at like a Vans Warped Tour or whatever. It was like, oh man, it was one way to improve the festival would be is if the if tickets were cheaper. And then in parentheses, it was like $65 Canadian
for the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know. Not sure. I don't know if they specified whether that was for the whole festival or just like a per day thing, but probably for the whole festival. And if there were cheaper beer, and then in parentheses, like $4 Canadian,
right?
Oh, dang, I would love if beer were $4.
Our times have changed, man.